I know this cannot have been an easy week for you and everybody down at the CSA.
Yeah, I don't think it's an easy week for anybody associated with Canadian soccer, not just at the CSA. I think everybody, as I've said in earlier interviews, I don't think we've ever had the support from a nation, whether it be our supporters or whether it be our media. Everybody was had heightened expectations of finally breaking through, especially after the successes that we've been building on over the last year, not only off the field but on the field as well, with our youth programs and our women's program. And everybody was ready to continue on with this success, and obviously to come down with a thunderous fall as we did on Tuesday was A, unexpected, and B, uber disappointing.
Victor Montaliani is the president of the Canadian Soccer Association. Where do you go from here, Victor? What are you looking for? Are you looking for a men's head coach? Are you looking for a person to oversee the development of the sport in the country? What exactly will the person you hire do? And how soon do you hope to have someone in place?
Well, two different things. One, I think a lot of the issues that we have already started tackling over the last year, they existed before the Honduras game, during the Honduras game, and obviously after. And that is, we will have a technical director in place by the end of this month who will be in charge of having a vision to put together, the issues that we have to solve at the player development level. We've already instituted our long-term player development, which a lot of our membership is already in the throes of implementing, which is a very important document that has to be sort of to help in the development of young players. And then we have to work together with people that work in the sharp edge of the game, namely our professional clubs, to help with respect to how they develop players so that we can sort of bear the fruits of their labor and they can sort of bear the fruits of our labor when those youth players come through to the youth teams. So a lot of that work has already been started and it has to continue. And the result on Tuesday is not going to change that, specifically to the men's program. Obviously, one of the issues that I think has been hanging over this program for a long, long time, and I'm talking, for decades, is the psychological barrier we have when we play in Central America, to a lesser degree in the Caribbean, but especially in Central America. We haven't gotten results in Central America pretty much ever. And so there's a reason for that, and it's just not technical. It's not tactical. For anybody that's gone down there for a game, they realize the significant differences in the environment to push through to get a result. And our next coach, we'll sit down here shortly to go over what that process is going to look like and what the timelines are going to look like. Obviously the key ingredient in the next coach will be somebody with that success rate and that pedigree of getting results in those type of environments.
And I presume I would be safe in saying the person does not necessarily have to be a Canadian coach.
You're correct in that.
I mean, there's some names out there. A lot of people obviously have gone over Bradley, people of that nature. Could you see bringing in somebody like that? Would there be value in bringing somebody who people recognize and who might have a track record?
Yeah, I mean that, as I said, that's a very key ingredient, and is somebody that has that experience. And we're going to be open minded to getting the best possible candidate, regardless of nationality. I think we'll be able to attract, as much as it seems like, it'd be difficult for anybody to, at this moment in time, to take over a program that just lost 8-1. The truth of the matter is, when you look at our program, if you throw that result out, there's been a growth in that program, and Stephen had done a very good job in increasing the player pool and all that. And if you look at our Olympic team and our under 20 team, there's a good sort of slew of young players coming through. So I think it's an opportunity for the next coach to actually to break through this barrier, because you can be rest assured that we will be at the same point 4 years from now in the semifinal round, where we will have a critical game, whatever game that is. This happened to be the sixth game in the cycle, which we haven't been that far for 15 years. But there'll be a critical game in the cycle where we're going to be meeting the same type of conditions, the same type of environment. And, you know, that's where the sort of work that's going to get done in the next 4 years has to sort of work into our favor the next time we get into this position.
Victor Montaliani is president of the Canadian Soccer Association. Did the CSA learn anything, you think, about the success John Herdman has had with the women's program in terms of the type of person you need to bring in? Now, I know John obviously didn't have the women's game is different. The demands on having success in Central America, I mean, it's a little different than the men's game. But did the CSA maybe learn anything about the type of person it takes to be successful in Canada? Or has John Herdman's work with the women's team just been so unique that it really doesn't provide that much of a template?
No, I think what we learned was, and you know, when we were when we had the 2011 World Cup, and obviously it was a very poor campaign, the team, you know, the headlines were very similar to the headlines we've seen in the last 2 days about the women's program. You know, it's been thrown back 20 years and this and that, and you know, everybody was feeling pretty much at the same level, but about the women's program after the result of Germany. And we realized soon that what type of person was required, and it wasn't necessarily, you know, just specific technical, tactical, but it was more on the emotional, psychological side to sort of rebuild this team back. And we got that right. And a year later, we all know what happened. And as I said, I think we learned our lesson. I'm not sure if we ever have done that in the past, but I think, you know, the people that are now at the CSA, we've come a long way with respect to where we're at. And I think we're going to go through the same process here. The dynamics, you're right, Jeff, are completely different. It's apples and oranges. But I think the lesson we learned after the Women's World Cup in Germany was the process and the identification of what is required and going out to get that, as we feel that would be a solution. And we're going to follow the same process here. Obviously, it's a little bit bigger of a field. You also have a whole player development issue. And when we talk about player development, you know, it's not just on the men's side. It's on the girls' side as well. Mm-hmm. Because we're just fooling ourselves if we think we're developing our female players better than we're developing our male players, because it's not. And we need to really get going with respect to how we're developing our players at the youth level.
And John Herdman made the point after the bronze medal game, and I thought it was well said. You know, he talked about how there's so many human resources in Canada devoted to this game. I mean, I've got a 12-year-old to play soccer. I mean, we all have 12-year-olds to play soccer. We all go by the schoolyards and see the kids playing soccer at recess. But his point is that someplace along the line, there's a disconnect. And it's trying to locate how that disconnect happens and addressing the disconnect that I think is one of the first things you have to do, is it not?
Yeah, and it starts at both ends of this, what I call the sword. There's the sharp edge of the game, which is the elite player development, and there has been a disconnect there with people stepping on each other's toes for a very small group of players. And I think we've started cleaning that up and working together with the professional clubs, working with our members that are involved in that area. And our next technical director will have a vision that will sort of make that process seamless, so that the resources are focused in the right direction. We're not all, you know, fighting over a handful of players.
Mm-hmm.
So that's at one edge. And on the other end is at the grassroots level. I think we need to break down a lot of sort of uneducated barriers. And, you know, there's a lot of people that have been writing about this for a long time. And, you know, you just take the work that's, you see a lot of stuff that's been written about it over the last few days by guys like Jason DeVos, and they're spot on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously the way they've been doing it for 100 years hasn't worked. So I think we should be trying to do it like other countries, like a lot of other countries are doing it, take into account that educating and coaching players and coaching coaches. That's the key. That's really where our crisis lies, is not coaching development. And I think those are the barriers that we need to break down on and have the political will to do it.
Victor, I appreciate you doing this. Like I said, I know it's been a tough week, and well, you know, the only direction's up right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is football. I mean, you know, in the summer, a conversation with me would have been a lot different after London, and unfortunately, this conversation went this way. But this is, you know, football is a process, and we know that, and we know what the challenges are, and we'll continue on that road. And obviously, this is a speed bump that wasn't expected. And we'll deal with it in the right way and move forward.